All right, good morning. How's everybody today?
Good.
All right. If you are a guest with us, thank you for choosing to worship with us this morning. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment and fill that out and drop it in the offering plate or just leave it on the information table out in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. Hopefully you also received a bulletin. How many of you also grabbed a bulletin or had one handed to you when you came in? Good. All right, open it up. Let's take a look at some of the things that are going on. Nothing going on this week. Okay, we're going to let you stay, hopefully someplace where it's nice and cool, not bring you out where it's hot. But by the end of the week, it's supposed to cool down a little. So we'll see if they get it right or not. All right. But there's some things that are important for you to be able to know here. Our Daily Bread just sent us 10 booklets called Reflections of Led by the Spirit. They're out on the information table. So grab one of those. Make sure that you either use them for yourself or if you know somebody that would benefit from that, help yourself to those. As you can see, Carissa and Kayla made it back from Uganda. Yes! All right. I asked them if they caught up yet, and they didn't answer me, so I'm going to take that as a no, all right? But you can ask them yourself. So you need to circle August 4th on your calendars because they are going to be giving their report as to what they were involved with as they went to Uganda and helped out at the gym orphanage, okay? All right? And you'll see that this is going to be, their presentation is going to be in place of the sermon. So, you know, this is biblical because remember we've been talking about the example of Paul in the book of Acts, how when he went back to the church in Jerusalem, he spent time doing what? Giving a report of all that God was doing and to the church. And so we're gonna experience Acts in real time on August 4th. That'll be a good thing, won't it? So you need to circle that on your calendar. You also need to circle on your calendar August 11th because after church on that Sunday, we're going to be having a baptismal service. We're going to be meeting at the home of Jared and Christy. We're going to have a picnic, and we're going to assemble there about 12. We're going to eat at 12, and then we're going to do a baptismal service. And we have several baptismal candidates, and so you're going to want to be there for that, to be able to not just eat, but to be able to support those who are being baptized. And if you've been thinking or praying about being baptized and you haven't contacted me or one of our elders, you still have time to be able to get in on this particular one in a couple weeks. So hopefully you'll got a bulletin. You'll see all of the rest of the things that are in there. Well, we have a birthday today, and I want to make sure that we honor this person. So Linda, you don't have to come up here. You don't have to stand. Just give a wave so that everybody knows where you are. Today is Linda Grimes' birthday, so we're going to sing happy birthday to Linda.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Linda. Happy birthday to you.
So sometime after the service, make sure that you wish her happy birthday in person. All right. Are you glad you're here this morning?
Yes.
Well, about half of you are. The rest of you, I think the jury's still out. So hopefully God will change your heart during the worship service and during the whole rest of our service this morning. You ready to praise?
Yes.
Yes. You ready to praise Jesus?
Amen.
Because that's why we're here. We're not here for us. We're here for him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go worship.
Would you all stand up with me this morning? We're going to count our blessings this morning. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, count your blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened? This morning and pray with me. Father, thank you for that cross. Thank you, Lord, that even before we knew, God, even before we had a chance, before the foundations of the world, you prepared that cross. You prepared it for us. Lord, thank you so much. You sent Jesus to pay that price for us. And not just us, for the whole world. when we sing a song like Count Your Blessings, we always have something to count because of that cross. Lord, we thank you today. We bless you today. We worship you today because you're the one worthy. Lord, we look forward to seeing you someday, face to face. The greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home. I trust in you. With all I am, I'll live to see your kingdom come. And in my heart, I pray you'd let your will be done. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home. Trust in you. I will live to love you. I will live to bring you praise. I will live a child in all of you. You are the voice that called the universe to be. You are the whisper in my heart that speaks to me. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing takes me home, I'll trust in you. I'll trust in you. I will live to love you.
Daily live, I surrender.
Nothing that this world has to offer is even close to worth living for except for you. Lord, we love you and we thank you today for who you are, for what you've done. God, as we open up your word today, Lord, teach us. Teach us who you are. Teach us more about who we are. And teach us, Lord, which way to go. We love you. We bless your name today. As we sing this last song, our usher is going to take this morning's offering. Even when I could not see, you were parting seas for me. Even when I could not breathe, you would exhale life in me. First and final breath, every single step, I have seen the proof of your faithfulness. God of my story, from glory to glory, behind and before me, you've been with me, Lord. Through all of my history, from valley to victory, beginning and ending, every chapter is yours. You are God of my story, all I have is yours. Every time I lose my way, when I'm standing in my shame, every sin is washed by the waves in the ocean of your grace. God of my story, from glory to me, Lord, through all of my history, from valley to victory, beginning and ending, every chapter is yours. You are God of my story, all I have is yours. God of my story, all I have is yours. It is finished. I'm not finished. You are resurrecting all of me. When it's over, it's not over. You're the author of eternity. You are resurrecting all of me. God of my story, from glory to glory, behind and before me, you've been with me, Lord. my story from glory to glory. Behind and before me, you have been with me, Lord. Through all of my history, from valley to victory, beginning and ending, every chapter is yours. You are God of my story. All the good and the bad, every word that is read is yours. God of my story. Every line of my life is a song glorifying you, Lord. And all I have is yours.
For those of you who are very observant, the answer to your question is no. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 22. Oh, you have no idea what I just said?
No.
You have no idea what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, the title of the message this morning is The Power of Your Spiritual... What? Story. We just sang a song about story. So no, Jared and I did not plan it. Okay? I didn't even know that, I didn't even remember that was a song that we sing until I saw the list of songs the other day. And the message pretty much was already done when we got the music. So no, Jared and I did not collaborate on that. That's called the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good when the Holy Spirit does it? I'm so glad, because he does a whole much better job than I would. Doesn't do as good of a job. No, he does it. He does a better job even than Jared does. But we're so blessed. So you know what I figured out? Some people have a tough time with medical procedures. When a young man came out of being under anesthetic from having his wisdom teeth pulled, he shot up, looked at the dentist, and said, "Charlatan, I demand you return my teeth. They are mine, and I will choose where they are to be spent." His father couldn't stop laughing because the young man wouldn't leave without his teeth. When the young man woke up from a nap at home, he asked his dad why his teeth were in a plastic bag on the table. The father told him what had happened at the dental office and promptly started calling him King Molar for the rest of the night. Not only do people have a tough time with medical procedures, most people have a tough time sharing their spiritual story. Let that soak in for a moment. We just sang a song about us being what? God's story. You see, every single one of us, if we believe in Jesus as Savior, we have a spiritual story. And it's not for us to just keep silent about. We've been looking at God's mission as we've been studying these chapters in the book of Acts from chapter 1 all the way now up to chapter 22. And it's pretty evident that God has given us a mission, and that mission is to what? Tell our spiritual story whenever he gives us the opportunity to be able to do that. But for many of us, we would rather have a dental procedure than share the message of Jesus as Savior with someone. If we are a believer, we all have a spiritual story, and God desires that we share it with others. And in order to do that, because we also sang another song this morning, in order to do that, we have to surrender. We have to surrender our fears. We have to surrender the fact that we might not feel that we're capable. We need to surrender the fact that we might not feel adequate. We have to surrender the fact that we feel like we have to do it instead of letting God do it through us. You see, there's some aspects about sharing our spiritual story. And one of those first aspects is we have to surrender. Because the devil uses all of those things to be able to say to you, nah, you don't need to do that. Nah, you don't have to tell anybody your story. You don't have to tell anybody about what Jesus means to you. You don't have to tell anybody about the fact that you believe in him as Savior, and that because you believe in him as Savior, heaven is yours. You've been given a gift of eternal life that can never be taken away, can never be lost. You yourself can't even give it back because it's yours for what? Eternity. By virtue of the fact that Jesus said it's eternal life makes it what? Eternal. can't be taken away, can't be given back. And so we all have to surrender some of those things in order to come to the place of doing what it is that God desires for us to do, and that is to share our spiritual story. So the main idea of the message this morning is this: give God glory by telling your spiritual story whenever the opportunity presents itself. In fact, God's word helps us to know how important this is. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense," that's to tell your spiritual story, "to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect." Have you ever had anybody say to you, "So what makes you different? How can you go through some of the circumstances of life? How can you go through some of the trials that I know that you're going through and still have joy in your life? Still have a smile on your face? Still have peace that emanates from your heart to those that are around you?" And how many of you go, "Man, I wish I knew the answer to that." Or, "I don't know. It just happens." No, it doesn't just happen. It's because you believe in Jesus as Savior and because His Holy Spirit is living inside of you. You see, the opportunity for us to have joy and peace, no matter what's going on around us, doesn't come from that which is around us. It comes from He who is inside of us. And every single one of us can say that. Every one of us can say, "You know what? It's because Jesus's Holy Spirit is with me." And if you want to know more, if you got a moment, I'd love to tell you how you can have that same thing. Because it's not just reserved for me. It's not just reserved for the people who go to my church. It's available to all of us. It's available to you. Would you like to know more? And just keep going. We'll talk more about that towards the end of the message this morning. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 tells us the reason for a personal spiritual story. It says, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." If you're sitting here this morning and there was a time in your life where God brought you to the place of understanding that Jesus died on the cross for you, and He, in His Spirit, was prompting you to believe at that moment in Jesus as Savior, He desires for you to be able to tell that to other people. The things that you have seen and the things that you have heard, do what? Proclaim also to others. Now, people can doubt or debate the Bible, and they do, or the existence of God, and they do. But do you realize that no one can deny your personal spiritual story? No one can deny that. The term spiritual story can also be known as your testimony or your witness. I just choose to call it your spiritual story, because sometimes witness and testimony get used in ways that is really not biblical. Your testimony is one of the most effective tools in your toolbox to help someone come to believe in Jesus as Savior. Now, the dictionary defines testimony as giving a firsthand authentication of a fact, especially in court. Dave, when you go to court, the judge doesn't want to hear what you think. He doesn't want to hear opinions. He wants to hear what? Truth. He wants to hear facts. It has the idea of open acknowledgement and is closely related to being a witness. In the Hebrew, it refers to someone who sees something amazing or important. Let me ask you a question. When you came to believe in Jesus as Savior, did something amazing happen to you? Yeah, it did. It happened to me. Did something important happen to you? Yeah, it did. It did to me. In the Greek, it means to answer, and is the word from which we get the word, get this, martyr. Maybe that's one of the things we have to surrender. Because sometimes I think that we think that the people that we have an opportunity to share our spiritual story with are going to hurt us in some way, whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, whether it's in our reputation. And so we don't share when God gives us the opportunity to be able to do that. Do you realize that the word witness is the most frequently used word in the Bible to express a believer's role in the world? We are to be witnesses. What's the best way for us to be able to do that? Share our spiritual story. And there are three benefits of your spiritual story, at least three of them. It brings glory to God. It can encourage others. And it can help others to believe in Jesus as Savior. Now, if you remember last Sunday morning, we left Paul standing on the steps of the temple. He had just been wrongly accused of bringing a Gentile into the temple, came close to being put to death, and then was arrested by Roman officials. And because he was granted permission to speak to the people, Paul decides to share, guess what? His spiritual story. As evidence of how powerful a spiritual story is, Paul's testimony is recorded 7 times in the book of Acts, and it's recorded throughout some of the rest of his epistles as he wrote most of the New Testament. You see, every believer has a story of grace to share. Now, the details may be different, but we're all saved by God's grace. And our spiritual stories are a direct reflection of the life-changing power of God's message of his redemption. So look at verse 1, chapter 22, verse 1. Because in verse 1, Paul begins to share his story, and notice how he begins. He says, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." He begins his spiritual story with gentleness and respect. And by choosing to speak in their heart language in verse 2, Paul engages them emotionally. Look at verse 2. "And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet." Whoa. Does Paul know what he's doing? Yes. Is Paul ready to be able to share the spiritual story? Yes. Is he taking advantage of an opportunity that God has given to him? Yes, he is. What an example that is for us. And we could define Paul's approach in this way: be kind and look for ways to connect to the heart when God gives you an opportunity to share your spiritual story. Like Paul, share your spiritual story whenever possible. Like Paul, let God display his power through your spiritual story. Now you might be thinking, okay, Pastor, how? Well, we're going to look at that. Here's the first way. Tell what your life was like before you became a believer. One of the best ways to begin your testimony or your spiritual story is to talk about what your life was like before you believed in Jesus as Savior. Listen to how Paul does it. I'm going to read verses 3 through 5. Paul said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, and brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished." Paul connects with them by declaring that he is a Jew. That got their attention. He says that he was born in a world-class city but was educated in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. This means that he sat in humility to learn from Gamaliel, a well-known and highly respected rabbi. Gamaliel was a Jewish scholar of the law and an influential member of the Sanhedrin, which we've learned from our study in the book of Acts that was part of the Jewish Supreme Court. So yes, Paul's name dropping here, much like we do when we want to establish credibility. Under Gamaliel, Paul was learning how to be accurate in his understanding of the Torah and to follow a strict interpretation of the Old Testament. This resonated with the people that Paul is standing here on the steps of the temple speaking to. Then Paul establishes how zealous he was by persecuting members of the way. Remember, that was the definition. That was the way that they described this new thing called the church that was popping up all over the place. And Paul was one of them in his opposition of the early church. And this testimony of zeal resonated with them because it was their zeal that was causing them to want to put Paul at this particular time to death. Paul says he even received warrants from the Jewish religious leaders to travel the 150 miles to Damascus to hunt down, arrest, and punish followers of Jesus. He tormented both men, women, and children. Paul's life before his salvation included the murder of many believers. Maybe God this morning is prompting you to think about your spiritual story and to prepare yourself to share that spiritual story. Here are some things to think about as you prepare that story. What were you searching for before coming to believe in Jesus as Savior? What was your view of God during that time of your life? What were the things of life you were struggling with? How did you try to find satisfaction in your life? We see how Paul was doing that as he's giving this opportunity, as he's taking advantage of this opportunity to what? Share his spiritual story. That leads us to the second thing, and that's to tell how Jesus brought you to the place of belief. Paul spent the bulk of his testimony time on how he came to believe in Jesus as Savior. I'm going to pick it up in verse 6 and I'm going to read down through verse 16. Paul says, as I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do. And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, the God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you shall be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. As Paul described a great light from heaven making an appearance at noon, my guess is his listeners now were really paying close attention. Now, did you notice that Paul says he wasn't searching for God, or he wasn't on a path to learn more about Jesus? So by saying this light came from heaven, Paul described something only God could do. What a great opportunity that is for us as we share our spiritual story, to be able to tell them that only God could do what he did to bring us to the place of believing in Jesus as Savior. Wasn't anything I was doing. In fact, if anything, most of us probably were doing the exact opposite, kind of like Paul. It was clear. Everything about Paul's belief in Jesus came from God. Paul mentioned he fell to the ground, and then he heard a voice which used his Hebrew name, Saul. This was another point of connection with this Jewish audience. Paul didn't realize that the things in his life must change, and now his life needs to be about serving God. And what does he tell them next? He says that, he said, I ask, what shall I do, Lord? You know what? We could say that same thing. When God brought us to that place of coming to believe in Jesus as Savior, I had to make a decision in my mind, or I had to make a decision in my heart, or both. Okay, now what do I do? I can either believe or I can reject. I can either believe or I can walk away. I can either believe or I can say, nah, not for me. Paul's saying, it brought me to a question. What shall I do, Lord? You know, I think this is a great opportunity for us to think for a moment that once we are saved by God's redemption, we must serve him. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should" what? "Walk in them." We should do them. And notice that this verse, verse 10, comes after two key verses regarding God's redemption. Listen to verses 8 and 9 of Ephesians 2. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For by grace you have been saved." Now that you have been saved through faith, by grace, now you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And did you notice that the answer to Paul's question, "What should I do, Lord?" is given in verses 15 and 16, where it says, "Be a witness and get baptized." You see, if you are a believer, you are called to be a witness. You are called to share your spiritual story, and you are instructed to be baptized. Now, if you've already been biblically baptized, you don't have to do it over and over and over and over again. Every time the church has a baptismal service, once is enough, once is plenty. Because baptism doesn't bring salvation, but it is a picture testimony of that salvation that we have. And as I've already mentioned, our next baptismal service will be Sunday, August 11th, after the morning service at the home of Jared and Christy. So watch for upcoming details. And if you haven't ever been baptized biblically, come and see me. Come and see one of our elders, that we might be able to get you lined up to be able to join with the rest of those who are being baptized on August 11th. So maybe here's some questions to help you think through the how part of your spiritual story. Where were you when the message of God's redemption made sense? I know where I was. I know the date, November 1st, 1973. It's a day I'll never forget. I know where I was. I was in a high school auditorium. I was at a teen crusade. I was getting ready to be able to hear some really good music from a singing group, and then to hear a message from a traveling evangelist with that singing group. Actually, he was the originator of this group. He was the originator of these crusades. I know exactly where I was. I know exactly what the circumstances were. What were the circumstances when you came to believe in Jesus as Savior? And what attribute or characteristic of God did you begin to understand? And it was at that moment, as this evangelist, before the event ever started, before the service ever got underway, he came out and he took the microphone. And the first thing that he said was, "I don't even know why I'm out here." And I'm thinking, dude, you're the leader of this thing, right? And you don't even know why you're out here? And he said, "I was in the back praying. And I've never done this before, and I may never do this again, but as I was praying, I just felt that God was saying, get out there and talk. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. But I will say this, that I think that there might be somebody here who really needs to know how much they're loved by God." And he began to talk about how God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to the cross to pay a debt of sin that we owed. He didn't know it because he was sinless. But God sent him to this world to be the Savior from sin, to be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And he said, "Nobody will ever love you like God loves you. Your parents will never love you like God loves you." I grew up not understanding that my parents loved me. I grew up never hearing my parents until I was an adult say that they loved me. I knew that my grandparents loved me because for 9 years I lived with them. I was raised by them. And my grandma would tell me all the time how much she loved me. I knew I was loved. And I'm sitting next to a girl who I loved. She was my first love. No, her name wasn't Becky. But I was sitting next to this girl who I thought I loved and who I thought loved me. Well, that didn't prove to be true later on down the road. But I knew one thing. I came to understand that God loved me. And that God loved me enough to send Jesus to this world to be my Savior. And I got up and I went to the back as the evangelist instructed, and it was there that somebody shared with me that I needed to believe in Jesus as Savior. And it was at that moment that I came to believe in Jesus as Savior. I know where I was. I know the date. I know all of that. Now, let me say this. If you don't know the date, if you don't know the circumstances, it's okay. Because you still know, right, that somehow, somewhere, God brought you to a place of what? Believing in Jesus as Savior. You don't have to have all the details. But if you do, that's a good thing as well. That brings us to the third part. Tell how God is helping you grow towards spiritual maturity. Because once we come to believe in Jesus as Savior, our life needs to be different. Our life needs to be different. Because why? We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is passed away. Behold, all things are now new. And after sharing what he was like before coming to salvation and the circumstances around his salvation, Paul describes how his life had been changed. I'm going to pick it up in verse 17. And I'm going to read down through verse 29. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and I saw him standing to me. Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Up to this word, they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live. And as they were shouting, throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out why they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned? When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, what are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen. So the tribune came and said to him, tell me, are you a Roman citizen? And he said, yes. The tribune answered, I bought this citizenship for a large sum. Paul said, but I am a citizen by birth. So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. Paul described a time when he wrestled with obeying God's instructions. Can you relate to that? You know that God is prompting you to do something. You know that God is asking you to do something, and you're struggling with following his instructions. And maybe it's something as simple as sharing your spiritual story with a family member or a neighbor or a coworker, as God gives you opportunity to be able to do that. Paul says that when he returned to Jerusalem after his 3 years in Arabia, he went to the temple to pray. God made it clear that Paul was to get out of Jerusalem quickly. But Paul thought he could make an impact there because these religious people knew how his life had changed. And in this part of his testimony, Paul demonstrated transparency, because sometimes we all think we have better ideas than God, right? God, I know this is what you're giving me an opportunity to do. I know this is what you're asking me to do, but God, I have a better idea. God, I think you need a little bit of help. God, I think you need to take a little bit longer and think this thing through, right? We all think we have better ideas than God does. And interestingly, in verse 19, Paul calls him Lord. But did you notice that even though Paul calls him Lord, Paul wanted his own will to be done, not God's? In verse 21, God tells him clearly how and where he is to go with God's mission. He says, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. You know what this tells us? That God wants his message to go to all nations, starting with where we are. And then as he gives us opportunity to go to other places to be able to do that. These ladies just came back from where? Uganda. And I bet they had many, many opportunities in Uganda, to be able to what? Share their story of how God brought them to believe in Jesus as Savior. You know, I've always wanted to do a deeper study on the word go, because it appears over 1,700 times in the Bible. Wow. You think there's a reason for that? You think there's an instruction in that? I think so. So we need to be people who are willing to go, because God is a sending God. He may keep us close to home, or he may send us far away. At the mention of Gentiles, these religious Jews became hysterical, revealing their pride and their prejudices. And when approaching the conclusion of telling your spiritual story, you might want to share how God's word has brought a change in how you live your life now, how you appreciate the relationship you have with God and his word, and how your life now has a spiritual purpose. And some things don't go well when you share your spiritual story. We saw that with Paul, right? They got what? They got hysterical. They got what? They got angry. They did what? They wanted him beaten because of the things that he had said. Now, a Roman flogging was much worse than what the Jews did. Flogging involved using a leather whip, which had pieces of metal or bone attached, designed to shred a criminal's back. And sometimes it produced death or permanent disability. But then did you notice how God intervened? Did you notice how God changed the situation? With complete patience and self-control in the midst of this turmoil, Paul asked the centurion if it was lawful to flog an uncondemned Roman citizen. And when the tribune heard this, he became alarmed and he stopped the process. Because Paul appealed for his rights as a citizen, eventually, as we're going to see in some of the later chapters of the book of Acts, he appears before governors and later makes the journey to Rome, where he gave his spiritual story to Caesar himself. Now you might say, well, this sermon was really nice, Pastor, but what does this really mean? Well, let me give you some things to think about. Let me give you some things to consider before you share your spiritual story. Number one, pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom and ask God to give you the right words. Structure your testimony to the person or audience you are speaking with. And in order to do that, you have to connect with them. You have to heart-to-heart connect with them. That might be able to be done quickly. That might take time. That might take building a relationship before that happens. Be confident and smile and simply tell your story. Got it? Simply tell your story. Don't use churchy words or religious jargon. Don't criticize churches or other denominations. And practice giving your spiritual story. And practice giving your spiritual story in 3 minutes or less. Give them the Reader's Digest version. That's hard for me to do. I'll admit that it's hard for me to be able to do. And sometimes when I have the opportunity and somebody says, so how did you come to believe in Jesus as Savior? I say, do you want the Reader's Digest version or do you want the whole story? Because I want to make sure that if they want the whole story, they're giving up their time to be able to hear it. Because it's God's story of what he did for me to bring me to believing in Jesus as Savior. You know, it's interesting. This week, as I read over and over Paul's sharing his spiritual story aloud, I was surprised that it only took, guess what, 3 minutes. And then conclude the telling of your story this way. The greatest benefit is I know for certain that I have eternal life because I believe in Jesus as Savior. And then bring the conversation back to your listener or your listeners by asking, has anything like this ever happened to you? And if they say no, the next question is, would you like to? And then continue to be able to what? Tell what it is that you've seen. Tell what it is that you've heard. Tell what it is that you know. Tell what it is that you yourself has experienced. Give God glory by telling the story of God's grace in your life. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for this part of the book of Acts where Paul so eagerly takes advantage of an opportunity to be able to share his spiritual story. Father, our spiritual story may not be like Paul's. Our spiritual story may not be like anybody else's, but it's the story you gave to us. And Father, you desire for us to be able to go to our neighborhoods, to go to our jobs, to go to our families, and to be able to tell them our spiritual story, to help bring them to the place of believing in Jesus as Savior, so that they could understand that by believing in Jesus as Savior, they've been given a wonderful gift of eternal life. And that means that someday, when they're separated from this life, that they will live life in your presence forever and ever and ever. Father, whatever the doubts are, whatever the fears are, whatever the inadequacies are, Father, remove them from us. Help us to surrender them to you so that we can tell about what the God of our story has done for us. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand for this last song? As we go out today, this song, It Is Well With My Soul, the heart of this is whatever comes our way, we're walking with the Lord, and we're going to go through it with him. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say,
it is well.